of Legacy with your host, Pastor Carl E. Mitchell III. We're celebrating lives and leadership and legacies of folks that have really done a lot in our community. Some of them are well-known and others not so much. Well, we're trying to change that by sharing those legacies and those stories with you here on WGTE Public Media. Today, we're honored to welcome a very special guest to me. I was just sharing with him. It seems as though I know him, but I've never really met him in person. Mr. Steve J. How do you pronounce that last name again?
Athanas.
Athanas. That's a very interesting name. We might have to talk about that. Yes. Stephen is a respected voice in many realms, education, in the arts, and public service, whether engaging in the minds of those in classrooms, advocating for the arts in particular, which is one of my favorite things to do. He's been very important in civics and other things. Mr. Stephen, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I was born in a log cabin down in Waikiki. I've been around the scene for quite a while. I spent 5 decades in various rock and roll bands, entertaining people, entertaining the masses. And while doing that, I was always still doing visual art. I always had a sketch pad with me. Spent about 3 years on the road with the Raisin Band back in the early to mid 70s. And so I was always jotting down stuff, always sketching, all that stuff. But primarily just getting up on stage at night and making a goofball of myself. I've told this story, but I've always held forth that what I lacked, I've never considered myself a singer per se, but what I lack in vocal prowess, I make up for in buffoonery.
Personality.
Jumping around on stage and making a fool of myself.
Awesome.
So that started way back when I was in the 8th grade and various bands in that time, the last one.
So the music.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. So yeah. You've been performing since you were in the 8th grade?
Yeah. My first band was called Jello.
Oh, wow.
It was with Walt Churchill III and my brother and a drummer. And we eventually added a keyboard player.
So how much trouble did you get in doing that?
Well, you know, it's funny. That's one of the reasons Toledo Free Press let me back in their arms was I asked if I could do the cartoons, which I did when it was a physical paper.
Yes.
And Laura King said, absolutely. But then she said, this kind of surprised me, would you write a monthly column about your shenanigans when you were in rock and roll? And so I'm doing that, and so far I haven't gotten in any trouble with my stories. But yeah, there's as you point out, there was some
interesting stories.
Oh, to say the least.
Any of which we can share today, hopefully. The edited version.
Yeah.
So what do you think led you into an artsy mindset? And I say artsy because it seems like your artistic nature is very eclectic.
No, I embrace that. It started early. My mom was primarily responsible. She she turned me on, and my brother, Dave, turned us on to Elvis Presley. Huh? And she would buy the 45s, and we lived in the Colony area, which is now where ProMedica is.
Yes.
And there was a movie theater, the Colony Theater. And she would take us to the Elvis movies. And so she was initial in getting me into it. But it's always something that's been a little scratching in my craw. Just got to do it.
Can't get away from it.
No, don't want to get away from it.
So which started first, the music or the drawing?
The music, yeah. My mom was initial in that. And then the first time I recall drawing was Popeye the Sailor.
Oh.
And that was my hero at the time. And I even ate spinach as a young kid.
Wow. Did it work? Were you strong to the finish?
You bet. I am what I am.
Wow. So what's, I guess, been some of your inspirations in the medias that you've worked in, other than Elvis? I mean, in art in particular, I mean, I know that your work would be considered kind of cartoonish, but it's really art, frameable stuff. I'd hang it up.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. inspirations. I guess it started, well, there was the drawing thing, and I was inspired by people like Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally smitten with Alexander Calder.
Mm.
And his mobiles and, yes. and all that stuff. It just the motion, moving art, just
and capturing it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And still being able to express it.
Yes, yeah. He was a maniac, man. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite art stories. Maybe you've heard it, but his first show he did in New York City. He came from Paris, and he came over, and he was met when he took a ship over, and when he got off the ship, the art. The gallery owner was there and saw that Calder had no work with him and freaked him out, right? You know, I just brought you across the ocean to do an art show and you don't have any art? Calder reached into his pocket and pulled out a ball of wire and made the whole show, not on the dock,
yeah.
but yeah, you know.
It wow. was,
yeah, just, that's just, that's wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Did you have any situations like that where it seemed as though you weren't prepared, but it turned out really good?
I'm sure I've struggled to get things done in a timely manner, but nothing that drastic. That was just...
Yeah, that's an awesome story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's been your best experience since you've been in, and I'm assuming that you do this full-time. This is your trade.
Well, you still got to keep the lights on, Carl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I have a little side things that I do. I hold up convenience stores. And, just kidding.
He leans on the outside of the walls. That's what you say.
yeah, I have a little job. Just gets me some dineros to keep the lights on. But yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I think I've been put on this earth to do. And as we all know, we aren't always blessed enough to do what we are supposed to do. But I'm trying my best.
Well, I could imagine you being the starving artist.
Not if you look at me. I don't miss a meal.
Oh, man. That's amazing. So what has been some of the worst experiences that you had in either media?
In music, there have been... more than enough. Visual art, nothing comes to mind, aside from being turned down from a couple of shows, not accepted and stuff. But I tend to be a little choosy, and my home is more my gallery than anywhere else, so I'm happy with that. But bad experiences with the band. It was, you know, there was... We all drove around in what came to be called, it was a 1971 country suburban station wagon with wood paneling, I think.
Wow.
And it broke down so many times, we ended up calling it the Deathmobile. And one day it broke down, beautiful day, I recall that, sunny, I think it was in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. We opened up the hood, not like we would have known
what to do.
Yeah, right. But we noticed that one of the rubber hoses had a crack in it.
Oh.
And so, you know, we sat there and scratched our heads. And finally somebody suggested, well, what if we take a lighter and melt it back together?
Oh, boy.
And had we done that, I think the news would have read touring band explodes on roadside. So.
I was waiting for that part of the story. Like,
yeah.
Well, what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you get it fixed?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, be honest with you, that was it. We put it side of the road, and I think we got a rental and went on our merry little way.
So you had a funeral for the old town and country.
Yep.
Poor vehicle.
Deathmobile, R.I.P.
Oh, so in all of what we're talking about, and it seems like we covered a lot of ground in a little bit of time. Hopefully not going too fast.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, pretty much for what my crack research staff came up with. How did that lead you into any sort of community? I won't call it activism, but more teaching and being involved in different causes? Because it seems like everything just fits.
Yeah. It wasn't with a whole lot of intention, but it does. I the teaching part of it got to the point where I finally gave credence to my father's wishes and got a real job. I put quotation marks up there.
I see the quoting fingers.
So I got my teaching degree. Oh, and, okay. You know, that wasn't a stretch. I'd be teaching. I got art education and taught that for a few years. But then, if you recall, there was a time when they thought that art and music were not important to the curriculum. Remember, and they started dropping those programs.
Yeah.
And I just kind of got frustrated. I continued to sub and stuff like that, but, you know, I just, it kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth. So I walked away from that. And then, you know, with the bands, we would do our share of benefits and stuff like that. So, truth be told, overall, I'm in it to make progress and make a name for myself.
So you taught in public school?
A couple charter schools. Are those considered? Yeah. Charter schools. And, I ended up in, two places. I was going through a sticky divorce, so I said, I got to get out of this city. Mm. And I had a teaching degree, which helped me to leave town.
Yeah.
Went to Baltimore and taught there for 2 years in the inner city schools. It was tough.
Wow.
Those kids, man, you know, it was just, I could tell you, hairs stand up on the back of your neck. but it was tough. But from there, I went down to West Palm Beach and taught there a couple of years. And
you came back here?
Yeah, isn't that wild? The logic and ill... not the greatest term, but the logic was that in Toledo, I had a reputation as a musician, and that was still my go-to moneymaker.
Yeah.
And so being that I had a reputation, I could always pick the cream of the crop musicians because they knew we'd make money. Mm. Knock on wood.
For Micah.
And that was the case. So, plus, you know, it was weird. I don't know, you know, it was kind of weird singing Jingle Bells when it's 85 degrees out there. You know, I can take snow up until Christmas and then I'm done with it, so.
Well, it's good. And I was thinking, you said you were, was it Baltimore?
Yeah.
There's a huge arts
culture my Lord. Yeah.
In Baltimore.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah. I lived walking distance to is it the Baltimore Museum? BMA. Yes. BMA, yeah. Lived walking distance and made frequent trips there. But there was also an outsider artist museum, which still exists, which was kind of where I was laying my artistic talents at that time, primitive art, outsider art.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really cool to be there. Yeah. Not to mention the music, sure.
And food.
Also, yeah. And food, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people sleep on Baltimore, but it is a really nice place.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from the obvious that stays in the news, but nevertheless.
Right,
Well, that had to be a pretty exciting experience as well.
It was. Totally being out of my element, you know, being out of my comfort zone was nice. You know, sometimes it was harrowing or lonely or whatever, but it was still good for my character.
And this was after the separation or divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so that's probably a good time for you then.
Absolutely.
To make that move.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I guess we kind of hit on some of the best, but what has been some of your most rewarding experiences in either media or activism?
Well, with the Home Wreckers, which was my last well-known band.
We love the name, by the way.
Yeah. And surprisingly, we played our a whole lot of weddings. I mean, you know, it's like, who'd you get to play your wedding? The Homewreckers. Well, that's optimistic, isn't it?
Oh, man. Get a prenup. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. But with them, we really hit the peak. I mean, we were big fish in the small pond here for years, receiving awards. We never really recorded that much. We didn't get into original. Now, all my other bands, we would flirt with original material, some more than others. But the Homewreckers just, they hit their groove doing covers. And we wouldn't do your normal covers always. I mean, there were some, you have to appease your audience, you have to appease your market. But we would always, like, we started out as a swing band. Oh. And we did all that early 40s, 50s swing, Big Joe Turner mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But as we became more exposed and commercial, we started learning some other stuff. But it was still, you know, it's there were certain bands that you would mm-hmm. think that a horn band would do Chicago.
Yes.
I refused.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't into them.
And, wow.
It was sort of a punk move on my part, but yeah. So be it. My band.
Yeah.
So yeah, the rewards of that were mighty. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to play some pretty cool places. Some of my earlier bands opened up for some pretty cool people and stuff like that. And
any people that you could mention?
Oh yeah. We two that didn't go that well were Kiss and Ted Nugent.
Really?
Oil and water between what we were doing and,
yeah.
you know, turning up the amps to 10. And so, you know,
that's surprising.
It was a stadium.
Yeah.
And, it was two different shows. One was in North Carolina.
Yeah.
The Climax Blues Band was on the road with Kiss opening up. Mm-hmm. And they finally had enough of those weirdos. So they quit the tour. And we happened to be playing a club in North Carolina. And they called us out of the blue. And I don't know if it was a good move. It's probably just a lateral move, if that. But we did it. And I talked to one of the guys the other day, and they said that we were appreciated. But I recall definitely at Nugent, people throwing stuff at us.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, they've been positive. We were playing at a club once over on Sylvania Avenue. I think it was Primetime Cafe.
Okay.
And we had heard Billy Joel was going to do a concert the next night at UT.
Mm-hmm.
And we had heard that he was out looking for clubs, looking for trouble. And so he just happened to stop in where we were playing. And I saw him come in, and I had a wireless mic.
Mm-hmm.
And being the jerk that I am, I immediately ran up to him and stuck the mic in his face. You know, a call and response with the song we were doing. He didn't bite.
Oh, wow.
But then on the break, he came up and he happened to love playing the Hammond organ. Mm. You know, he's the piano man after all.
He is.
Have you heard that?
Oh, of course.
But he loves playing the Hammond organ, and our keyboard player had, you know, the big Hammond with the Leslie and all these.
Like a B3 or something?
Yeah. So he asked if he could play, and it's Billy Joel. We were going to say no. he came up.
He wouldn't sing, but he'd play.
Yeah, he came up and did a couple songs with it. That was fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
On the other end of the spectrum, this was a different band. We played in Ann Arbor at a place called Second Chance. A very popular club. Lots of name acts had played there over the years. And so it had a reputation. And we're playing. It was an off night, I think a Sunday or a Tuesday. And we're on a break. And we're down in the break room. And the doors literally swing open. These two Lugo guys.
Oh, boy.
Each side. And in between them is Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh.
So, you know, my jaw just drops. I thought, what planet am I on, you know? And so I start talking to him. The other guys kind of shied away. I don't know what the deal was.
No way I'd shy away from that opportunity.
Yeah. Maybe they knew what was coming my way. But we talked a while, and I'm not one to really ask for autographs.
Yeah.
I've met Springsteen. I didn't ask for his autograph. I ran into Ronnie Spector at the airport in Detroit. What a sweetheart of a woman she was. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I couldn't find a piece of paper for the killer to give me his John Hancock. And finally I found a styrofoam cup.
Oh, wow.
And I, pen and cup, handed it to him, and he looked at me like, what kind of doo-wah hands me a styrofoam cup to sign?
Oh, man.
But he begrudgingly signed it, and we talked a little more and got around. I asked him, well, what'd you think of the band?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it wasn't one of my better bands, but he didn't miss a beat. He looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, son, you suck, your band sucks, and you're in the wrong business.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'll never forget that quote. You know, you don't forget something like that. But on the other hand, it was the killer. Yeah. What do you expect him to say? Oh, you were so good and kowtowed.
He ain't going to lie to you. He's not going to do that. Yeah. That's an awesome story. Oh, my
God. It is. It's musicians talk about that story.
So what do we have looking forward to the future?
Got a couple shows going on now. There's one. It's called Wild Places. It's at Hudson Gallery in Sylvania on Main Street. I have two pieces in there. Actually, I have three pieces, but two are in for the show. I love that gallery. Those people are wonderful, wonderful. Barb and Scott Hudson. Then I'm going to partake of the Toledo School for the Arts Undisclosed, that show they do every year. Yes. They give you a 12x12 piece of wood and put something on it. Yeah. And then I'm also somewhat of the curator at Flatlanders Gallery in Blissfield, Michigan.
Oh.
Small, off the road, you know, off 223, but looks good on my resume.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm curating there, and we're doing a protest show in October, if we're still around.
Oh, hopefully.
So that's going on. There's rumors of bubbling. We did a reunion concert last year with Loved by Millions, which is one of my bands, and it went off splendidly, so well that the boys are now chomping to do another one this summer, and so I'm trying to find a place for us to do it. Last year we did it at the new room at the Toledo School for the Arts, that place they built. And it just, we did two shows. We did one for the kids in the afternoon. Kids. God, am I old. and then one in the evening for the grown-ups. And it was a blast. And so we're trying to, it's, you know, there was 6-7 people in that band, so getting the schedules together.
Yeah, everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah. And the bass player is the bass player for Weezer, Scott Schreiner.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He played with us before he moved to California. So his schedule in particular is, I just read this morning that they're playing Coachella. So,
yeah.
So
that's amazing.
We'll see if that comes to fruition. Other than that, can I plug my website?
You can, yes.
Okay, I have a website, active website. It's kind of an overall. It's got a lot of the media articles that have been written about me over the years. It's got a section of some of my original tunes, which are fun. And then, of course, it's got my 2D and 3D art. And
awesome.
It's called All Things Ath.
All Things Ath.
Yeah,
A-T-H. So, yeah, your last name. That's awesome. Yeah.
And the website is Stephen with a V, J-A-Y, .art.
So StephenJ.art.
Yeah.
Got it.
Can you say that again?
Sure, StephenJ.art.
Did you hear that out there in Radio Land?
Oh, my goodness. All right, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, we're done?
Just about. The Voices of Legacy today. The last and final, really two questions, but it's one. What do you think Stephen Jay's legacy is, and what would you like for it to be?
Two different things, eh? You know, I don't know that I've thought about it that much. At the age I am, I suppose I should be thinking a little bit about it.
You're a young fella.
Oh, yeah. I have to say my sons as one thing. Very proud of them. They're both, one's 37 and one's 35, I believe. Mm-hmm. One lives in Leesburg, Virginia, and he manages a string of mom-and-pop restaurants. And Michael lives up here in Toledo and does IT for a place on the West Coast. But because he does IT, he can work as long as he's got a laptop.
Awesome.
So very proud of them. But I do have to give credit where credit is due, and that is to their mother. She did most. We divorced when they were young, 3 and 5, I think, mm-hmm. and she got a job in Virginia. So she did most of the work, so hats off to her. But obviously, I don't think there's anything musically that will, well, maybe part of a legacy, yeah, local legacy. But my artwork, I would like to have it go beyond the borders of Northwest Ohio. I'm itching and scratching to get a book out of my
that would be my an awesome 2D idea. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anybody out there got publishing connections, call me.
I think that might happen. Thank you again so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening to the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. Be kind to someone. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.